All right, this is Orion Rising News, and I am Leonard O'Neill. There we are. Okay, just the other day on Friday, Anderson Cooper opened his monologue with talking about the president and him gaslighting the world and not listening to his quote-unquote professionals, Anthony Fauci, and the CDC, John Hopkins University, and the numbers. And then he went on to say that Arizona, the state of Arizona, where I used to live, that they have a giant wave, second wave, that all the hospitals are, all the beds are filled and all the hospitals are overwhelmed. You'll see him saying that. Okay. So I took a look at that. I went to John Hopkins University and the website, and the CDC, the website, and I looked up what the numbers were currently. This is Saturday, day after Anderson Cooper said that, and I'm recording this, and I looked up the numbers. I'm also going to explain to you who is the money behind John Hopkins University that we're listening to so much. So, Michael Bloomberg. And I'm going to have the computer read you a bio on Mike Bloomberg, okay? And the CDC is Anthony Fauci's business partner, who those two were implicated in the whistleblowing video that was taken down of mine from this channel on YouTube, but not my Facebook channel, which I'll play excerpts of that, as well as excerpts from the whistleblower in New York undercover, talking about the same thing. And I also have coming up, I also have Placer County Board of Directors, Placer County, California Board of Directors, who spoke to the health, you know, the CDC here in California, and they asked, why does my county have to be shut down? Well, you had a giant increase, 300% increase. You're right, we went from 7 patients to 15. In the hospital, or 18, 15 of which are not even Placer County residents. He'll explain it all to you. And he explains exactly how it is they tally. And I'll also take a look at the CDC mandate on how they tally COVID-19 cases. So that you guys will see, not just me, and I've been, if you've watched any of my videos, I've been constantly telling you how they do that, also doing the math on this COVID-19. They do the math on COVID-19, and they tell you that it's 8 to 10% mortality rate, which I can't figure that out because every time I do the math, I come up with a 0.04% at its highest peak. Okay, so we'll have to take a look at the math, and you guys tell me if I'm doing the math wrong in some way, because when you're trying to figure out an average or a, you know, that amount, don't you take the amount of people, like the deaths, and you divided by the amount of people who are infected, and that tells you what the average death rate would be. If you want to do it per capita, you take the total amount for the population and you divide it by 100,000, so that it's by 100,000 people, then you divide that by the amount of deaths. Or you take the amount of deaths and divide it by 100,000, and then take two of those and put them together, and there you go, right? That's, take that and divide it by that. Either way, it comes up to, however you calculate it, it comes up to 0.04%, and they're saying 9 or 10% mortality rate. Which I didn't do the math on that, but I will, and I'll add it to this video to tell you how many people actually should be dead if it were. And I do the math for the world number and the United States number. Okay? I live in Sacramento County in California, and we're locked down right now because we've had, since the beginning, since March, February, we've had a total of 79 deaths in this state, or in this county. And we're still locked down. That's because Gavin Newsom is a Democrat, and he's doing this to gaslight you guys. So let me show you these videos, and I also have a video from Tucker Carlson that I'm going to play. I got a couple videos from a bunch of different people that I'm going to jam into this. It's going to be long, I think. So I'm not going to talk much, right? So let's move on into Anderson Cooper, and let's get started, right? So you won't be hearing from me a lot. You'll just be hearing from me in between each video, maybe. Voiceover, okay? Here we go.
And even though the death rate has been falling for a while, it's now climbing again. More cases leading to more people being hospitalized and now more people losing their battle with a virus the president still calls 99% harmless. Since reopening, Texas has seen new cases rise by 849%, nearly 10,000 new confirmed infections today alone. In Arizona, cases up 887%, major hospitals at full capacity. And since reopening, Florida's case numbers have risen by 1,237%. The state has gone from averaging 680 new cases per day to more than 9,000.
The state normally has a total of 1,682 adult ICU beds available. But according to data published by the Arizona Department of Health Services, ADHS, only 145 beds, or 9%, were unoccupied as of July 7th. As reported, coronavirus cases in the U.S. surpassed 3 million on July 8th. Arizona continues to be seen as a hotspot for positive tests and crowded ICUs. On July 2nd, the state reported that 91% of its ICUs were full, with 1,520 beds in use, just 17 less than the latest figure reported for July 7th, suggesting a pattern that has lasted for several days.
Now, why are you playing this, Leo? It seems to be backing up Anderson Cooper's claims. I'll get to that in a minute. I want to show you what they're showing and what they're talking about here, okay?
More than half of the ICU beds are currently in use by COVID-19 patients.
More than half of the beds are COVID-19, but they don't tell you exactly what that number is. The reason for that is someone who's trying to make somebody look bad, they'll say more than half, but they won't tell you there could be one more than half, okay? So 50% of the beds are being used approximately by, let's say, 51%. They're not telling you, but they're implying that it's much more. If it were, then it would be, you know, 60%. So it's below 60%, but not high enough for them to say almost 60%. So it's below 50% and halfway. Otherwise, they would say that. Okay, so it's somewhere between 50% and 53%. Do you understand how that works? This is word psychology of newscasters and the way people speak, especially here in America. They imply something. Right, $19.99 is cheaper than $20. In your mind, if you see something that's $20, and right next to it there's something that's similar to it, almost identical, but it's $19.99, that's one penny. You're going to grab the one from $19.99. That's why everything ends in a 99 cent or a 98 cent or a 97 cents. Because psychologically you think you're getting a deal when it's not rounded up to the dollar. And you're not. It's exactly the same and is exactly the same amount of tax. One penny doesn't change it. Because when you tax like 13 cents on the dollar, as soon as you tax it for the first 13 cents, it automatically rounds up. It's kind of complicated, but it still automatically rounds up. So you still pay the same tax. So you pay the same amount of money for the same thing if it was listed at $20 or $19.99. Okay? But they go the other way. So here they say more than 50%. Either way, only half of the beds are COVID-19. The other half are normal shit. So the hospitals aren't overwhelmed because those other beds are going to become available a lot faster because that's normal shit. Do you understand? That's how they mind trick you with the Jedi mind trick. That's part of it. All right, let's continue.
The data shows. In the last 24 hours, 3,520 new positive coronavirus cases were recorded, bringing Arizona's total to 108,614. Maricopa County, home to Phoenix and Scottsdale, continues to account for the largest number of reported cases, having nearly seven times the number of cases as the second highest county, Pima.
The reason for that, ladies and gentlemen, is that Maricopa County, I used to live in Arizona, I lived in Maricopa County, is the largest county in Arizona. It covers more than half of Arizona. All the largest cities in Arizona are in Maricopa County. Okay? There's between 15 or between 12 and 15 million people living in the state of Arizona, depending on the time of year. The reason being is that when the snowbirds are there, the population goes up by about 3 or 4 million. Snowbirds are people who fly south for the winter. That's what we call them. They're the people who live in other states that get snow and stuff during the winter, and they leave and come to Arizona to live there throughout the winter, where the temperature is about 80 degrees at the hottest. Okay, that's in the wintertime, and then they leave in the summertime. However, because of everybody being sheltered in place, I'm not there, so I can't tell you the exact number, but I'm pretty sure a lot of the elderly didn't leave, and they're hunkered down in their houses in Arizona. Most of the snowbirds are retirees. So in the wintertime, the amount of people who are between the age of 60 and 80 goes up by about 3 to 4 million people. Most of those people are at risk for coronavirus. So you would expect to have a larger number in an area where you have more population and more elderly. See, this is what the part of the way they're, and I'll show you a video where it's not just me saying this. Okay, this is a public official from here in the state of California. And I'm going to play that after this, okay? So that you see exactly how they're tallying the count. And I've been telling you this, that I've been getting this from people in the hospitals, insiders. Here's a person who, in his own words, are going to explain to you the way they explained to him how all of these numbers are counted. Okay? And it becomes three-card Monte, if you know what that is. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Okay? So you're going to have a larger amount of people in that county with coronavirus because there are more people in that county alone than there are in the rest of the state combined. Just like the United States of America is going to have more COVID-19 cases and deaths than every country in Europe, because the total population of every single country in Europe, including Northern Europe, like everything from Norway down to Greece, the total population of all of those countries does not equal the total population of the United States of America. Next to the United States of America, China is the only country, and maybe Russia in its heyday, that has more people in it. Okay, so you would expect, you know, for instance, there's more people in the state of California than there are in the entire country of Canada. You could look this up. They have 37 million people in that country. We have 39 million people in this state. Do you understand? So you would expect more people in the state of California to have coronavirus, more cases, than in the state of Arizona or the state of New Jersey, because we are four times and five times their population. Or twice their population. Do you understand? So Maricopa County makes up like 60 to 70% of the entire population of the state. That's like 15 million, so that's like 10 million. So 100,000 cases, somewhat, whatever that is, isn't that bad when you consider there's 10 million people in that thing. Okay? So here we go.
Hospitalizations hit new highs. Inpatients with suspected and confirmed COVID-19 tallied a record 3,356 statewide on Monday.
Let's take a look at the wording here. Inpatient with suspected and confirmed COVID-19 tallied a record 3,356 statewide on Monday. Why is that important, Leo? When I play this video, those of you who have the vidcast, you can see the gentleman, you'll understand. And those of you who have the MP3 file podcast, you won't be able to see him, but you'll be able to hear him talking. So remember what I just said there, suspected and confirmed. Okay? Now, pretty much, if you're already thinking about that, you're already getting the idea of, so they're counting suspected cases of COVID-19 as a COVID-19 case. Yes. And you'll hear that from someone who got it from the health department and the CDC in the state of California.
Hospitalizations have eclipsed 1,000 daily since June 1st and surpassed 2,000 for the past 2 weeks. Ventilator use for suspected and confirmed COVID-19 patients was at 544 on Monday.
Wait a minute. ventilators for suspected and confirmed COVID-19 patients. So they're ventilating people who are suspected to be COVID-19 patients. Not confirmed, but suspected and confirmed. Do you see? Do you see how this is turning, how this is working out? These are the words that you need to pay attention to because, you know, you have Anderson Cooper claiming that the president is gaslighting everyone, and he lied and said that all of the hospitals were completely overwhelmed and full. You hear here that they're not. They still have 150 beds or so, and half of the emergency room beds are people who have come in for other ailments, which is a normal thing. That half is not like, oh my God, we have all these other beds that normally aren't occupied, and they're here too. That's normal. Okay, those people are going to cycle in and out. And as it gets warmer in the summer, you're going to have less and less people coming in because there's nothing, you know, what are they coming in for? Nothing. That's going to go away because they're all hunkered back down again. So they're not getting food poisoning. They're not running around, making themselves sick, drinking too much, whatever. Okay? So here we go again. Listen to this next thing.
The highest number so far. Overall, 49% of ventilators remained available on Monday.
So overall, 49%. So just over 50% of the ventilators they have at their disposal, 49% is still available. So they're not overwhelmed, Anderson Cooper. They're not overflowing. They're not at capacity. 49% is still available. Do you understand?
ICU bed use for suspected and confirmed positive COVID-19 patients was at 869 on Monday.
There we go again with that word, suspected and confirmed. So they're counting a bunch of people that they suspect. What exactly does that mean? That will be broken down for you when I play you the thing from the guy. Okay?
Highest number so far. The number has been above 500 daily since June 15th, with a relatively steady increase in the weeks since. Emergency department visits for patients with suspected or confirmed COVID.
Again, suspected or confirmed. So if you come in and you have a respiratory problem, you would be considered suspected COVID-19. What exactly does that mean? How far does that go out? Well, we'll get right into that. Okay.
19 was at 1,385 on Monday. Emergency department visits hit a record 1,847 patients on Thursday. Visits surpassed 800 on June 5th and have been above that level every day since. During April and May, emergency department daily visits for COVID-19 were typically in the 400s and 500s, rising into the 600s in the last few days of May. The number of patients with suspected or confirmed positive COVID-19 discharged from...
I'm sorry? Suspected or confirmed positive 19 discharged from hospitals.
Hospitals was at 424 on Monday.
Hold on a second. So people are being discharged from the hospitals. Why are those numbers not being taken off the total tally that keeps going up and up and up and up? And why isn't there numbers showing that these people are on the list that they've erased of people who have survived? That's weird.
Continuing high discharge numbers over the past week. Sunday saw the highest number of discharges so far, with 475 patients discharged.
So people are being discharged. So that means that their COVID-19 isn't so bad they can go home, or they've gotten over it. So why are we so concerned that the beds are going to get overwhelmed when 500 patients per day are walking out of the buildings? Oh, but wait, 800 are coming in. Yes, but all those other patients that are in those other beds that are not COVID-19, they're also leaving. They don't say the number of those. I would wager it's about the same. So you're losing like 1,000 beds when you're gaining 800. So it's averaging. It's staying on an average. Do you understand how that works? Do you see how they word this to make it sound like it's really bad? Right? That's kind of crazy. What do you think about that, right? Let's move on.
What's the conversation about these trends? Vice President Mike Pence is sending help. Pence and Dr. Deborah Birx of the White House Coronavirus Task Force on Wednesday met with Ducey and Arizona healthcare teams to discuss the unfolding COVID-19 crisis. Pence canceled a planned campaign event in Tucson and a visit to hard-hit Yuma due to rising COVID-19 numbers. Pence said he was instructing the acting Homeland Security Secretary to provide another 500 medical personnel to Arizona, after Ducey requested extra help to combat the new coronavirus. Those doctors, nurses and personnel should arrive in the coming days, and will follow the additional 62 medical personnel who arrived in Tucson earlier last week to help efforts there.
So they have more beds coming, more personnel coming, and they're saying, and Anderson Cooper saying that the president's walked away from this. So you need to understand that the president is not actually head of the operation. He appointed the vice president to be ahead of the operation to take care of all this. So he just gets reports as, how's things going, guys? Are we on top of it? Are we doing good? They give him a report. Okay? Everybody's complaining he's not listening to the report. No, he's not listening to Anthony Fauci anymore. Okay? Because Anthony Fauci will get into that. Anthony Fauci is a liar. And he's getting, I've said this over and over again, okay, about what's going on with him. And I'll talk about that later.
Hospital systems worry about staffing, elective surgeries, and other challenges. Hospital leaders say that while there are plans in place for a surge of COVID-19 patients, it would put great pressure on staffing, test supplies, and other hospital services. As cases and hospitalizations rise, some hospitals have begun pausing elective surgeries or are considering pausing them to ensure there's enough capacity to handle the influx of patients.
So they're on top of it, and they're making sure that some surgeries that don't have to be done, they're canceling so that they have more room just in case there's a surge. So Anderson Cooper claims that, and other people on all of these liberal channels where you have these leftist socialists running the place, openly so, they're saying that nobody's doing anything, the president's not doing anything, he's out playing golf, he doesn't care, and he's walked away from the whole thing. Even Joe Biden's spouting that talking points. It's untrue. You hear here, this is even trying to make them look bad, but this is, you know, being honest. Right?
Several hospitals in the Banner Health and Dignity Health systems have begun activating surge plans to increase capacity for patients.
Those two are the two largest healthcare facilities in that state. They have many, many, many hospitals. I know I was part of Banner, and they must have in the area of, I was in Queen Creek, which is 45 minutes southeast out in the desert. There was two hospitals and a clinic in my town. Okay. And, within a 20 mile radius, there was like five more hospitals, and that was just Banner. Dignity was about the same. So they have tons of hospitals.
State officially activated crisis standards of care last week after a recommendation from an advisory group and at the urging of doctors, who signed a petition. Key figures to watch. The percentage of positive tests is increasing. This is the opposite direction from White House reopening criteria. The percentage of positive tests out of all tests per week increased to 22% last week for results that have come back so far. That figure was 14% a month ago, up to 18% 3 weeks ago.
See, this is where they try to make it look bad with their percentages. But they neglect to tell you that they're testing more people. The more people you test, the more results you're going to get. If you're testing 1,000 people a day and your figure is 14%, and then a month later you're testing 10,000 people a day and it goes up to 18%, that's not bad. And then if you go another 2 weeks, you know, another 1 month ahead, and it goes up to 21%, but now you're testing 400,000 people a day. I'm not saying that that's what they're doing, but what I'm saying is that you don't know for certain what those numbers are. Why? They omit it here. Because the numbers going up are making them look bad. That's why they have a death toll and they have the total case number and no other numbers are on the board anymore. They used to have those who recovered and went home, and they stopped telling you those numbers because those numbers started getting very large. So they don't want you having that idea because they lie about the numbers and how to calculate that. Okay? And I'll show you that here in a moment.
To 21% 2 weeks ago. When the state decided to reopen on May 16th, that number had been trending down, but it has been increasing ever since. An increasing share of COVID-19 cases are younger people. After the state reopened in mid-May, younger people began making up the majority of COVID-19 cases, largely due to increased activity in younger generations. While younger people are less likely to be hospitalized or have severe outcomes, they can still easily pass along the virus to older or more vulnerable individuals.
See, do you see how they make that look negative? Okay, so if they have all these patients in the hospital that are intubated, those people are not young people. That means that they're old people or people with all kinds of autoimmune problems or lung issues or heart issues. That would suggest that the large population of snowbirds didn't leave and they're hunkered down and they're getting it. So now they're going, but wait, the younger people get it and it's just like the normal flu, but they're not telling you that, right? They get a flu, they come in, they get tested. Well, it's coronavirus, but you're fine. Go home and just isolate for 15 days so you don't pass it on to grandma. Okay, so that's casual. That's how casual it is with those people that are not at high risk. Why would it be that casual if this is a disease like Gavin Newsom says out here in California? Many other Democrats are referring to this as a disease. And I'm sorry, what is it called? Coronavirus. It's not called corona disease. Coronavirus. Okay? COVID-19 is not a disease. We don't need a vaccine for it. They're gaslighting you into believing you need a vaccine for a flu bug.
In addition to younger people, the virus has begun hitting Latino patients disproportionately, among the patient ethnicity data that is known, an effect that has helped drive Arizona's surge of infections in June.
Now, anybody who lives near and around Latinos, you have to understand that they have a large family unit. Sometimes one house has two or three families living in it. And if not, they're very social people. They usually have get-togethers of 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 people, man. Okay, so you're going to have more cases that are going to be hitting people who are, you know, hanging out with a ton of people. Let's be serious about this, right? And I'm not buying, you know, something that like, oh, it's designed to go after Asians and Hispanics more than anyone else. They wouldn't do that because they want them on their side.
Latino residents are more than twice as likely to become infected as non-Latino residents. Non-Hispanic people face infection rates of about 252 cases per 100,000 people. For Hispanics, the rate is 540 per 100,000.
They said the same thing about the Chinese. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe they were the ones developing it, you know, the cabal and the Chinese. So, I don't know what the, you know, who knows? Maybe they did design it to kill off Hispanics and Chinese. Somehow they're going to try and twist that so that it's Trump's fault, and that way they'll all vote for them. I don't know.
Hospital capacity.
Could be that they're non-European, and someone said something about the bubonic plague. I'm going to look into that. And that's kind of rearing its ugly head, and a lot of diseases are designed around that. Like AIDS, for instance, if your family bloodline came from Europe at the time of the Black Plague, which was bubonic plague, and both of your families can be traced back there, which mine can, then you're immune to the bubonic plague. That means you're also immune to AIDS. So designer bugs that kill off other populations, the cabal, which is mostly European in bloodline, design viruses they can't get or won't kill them, but kills other people.
Ducey previously has emphasized the state has enough hospital capacity, pointing to current available space in hospitals as well as additional surge methods and more beds that can be brought online if necessary. Ducey recently said hospitals could hit surge capacity very soon, which would trigger a need for emergency staffing and the use of field hospitals such as a reopened St. Luke's Medical Center in Phoenix.
Okay, so, but you see that they're already on the ball thinking that might happen, and they're already collecting all of that stuff. Mike Pence is heading that up. This said this in this report. And this report came from Johns Hopkins University. We're going to get into what that is after we get into cases and how they're collecting them. Now, here's the numbers. As of July 11th, in fact, you'll hear that, 5:29 p.m. local time. Confirmed cases, confirmed deaths, okay? And the plus number of how many cases were plus, and I don't believe it was in that day. I believe it was in this is like for the United States and for the world. But this one actually has recovered numbers, okay? And then I do the math, so listen.
Coronavirus, COVID-19, statistics. United States cases. Updated July 11th at 5:29 p.m. local. Confirmed. 3,290,994. Plus 52,775.
I think that was for the week or the month. I should have put that on there, and I apologize for that. I believe it was for the month.
Deaths. 136,621. Plus 668.
Yeah, see, that might have been for the week, right? Because that's the deaths. And everybody's claiming everybody's dying. But now listen to this. Out of all of those, here's a recovered number.
Recovered. 970,345.
So out of the 3 million cases, they have 970,345 confirmed recovered. That means the patients walked out of the hospital. That doesn't even account for the people who came in with and tested positive for coronavirus but have already been over it. They don't put that number in here. That's why they stopped having that number, period.
Plus 6,933.
Okay, so here's the math.
So the math is 136,621 divided by 3,290,994 equals 0.04151359.74.
Okay, so they're telling you that it's up to 8% death rate in the United States and 9% at some point. So the total math for the total deaths, for the total cases, right, 3,290,944 cases with 136,621 deaths in the United States. That means that the death rate is 0.04%. No, I'm sorry, 0.04, yes. No, because that's the number, so then if you make it a percent, you move the decimal point over, so it's 4%. So if you move the decimal points, I didn't do that. I just did the average. I didn't do the percent. So times 100%, you see, move the decimal point over two places, so it becomes 4%. The acceptable rate is somewhere between 5 and 7 for regular flu. 4% is low. Okay, here's your global cases.
Global cases. Updated July 11th at 5:29 p.m. local. Confirmed. 12,507,849. Plus 134,127. Deaths. 560,460 plus 3,597 recovered 6,890,914.
I'm sorry, wait. Say that again. 12 million confirmed cases, 12,507,849 confirmed cases in the world. Recovered 6,890,914. More than half of the cases ever actually tested, recovered. How many of those were people that were tested that are still left on that number that died? We have that number. Okay? That's only 560,460. So that still leaves another 6 million. What happened to those people? Those people are the ones that never got hospitalized and went home, and it was like the flu to them. Those people are recovered as well, but they don't want to tell you that, because if they do, they have to double the number of recovered, because they don't know what happened. Well, they didn't die. We never found their bodies, so they must have recovered. Why are they not giving you that number? I'm not buying that there's still that many people in the hospitals fighting for their lives, especially when you call the hospitals or you go there and you find out that they only have a few people in there. Do you understand? Because if that were the case, the total 106,000 or 160,000 cases in Arizona, they only have 40% or 47% of the, or 51% of the beds in the ICU units are actual COVID-19. So you would have somewhere around 160 or 130 or 120,000 deaths if they all were not, if they were all still fighting for their lives. They don't. Where are they then? Do they go to the moon? No, they've recovered, but they're not telling you that. Okay, here's the rest for the percent for the world.
Plus 104,718. So the math is 560,460 divided by 12,507,849 equals 0.04512846 29.
So again, now if you move the decimal point over, it's 4%. In the United States, it's 0.0415, and for the world, it's 0.045. So if you move the... Okay. So the video's not working very well, so I'm going to go ahead and play the audio for you. So we'll switch back over to the what you guys were seeing with the images, and I'll play the audio for you for with this gentleman. Now remember, he is on the board of directors of the county of Placer County here in the state of California. And I wanted you to see his visuals, but it didn't seem to be syncing up right. I'll see if I can fix that later. And if I can't, I'll just leave this MP3 for you. Because I want you to see the look on his face. He was pretty adamant. He's pretty upset. Okay. So here we go. And it's a little low. It's lower than my mic. And I have everything turned up as high as I can. So you might want to, you might have to turn it up. You'll see when he starts talking.
Well, good evening, Kirk Euler back with you. Hey, I've got disturbing news. Yesterday, our Board of Supervisors met. We had another update from our public health officer about what's happening in Placer County. And what I learned is two things that are very disturbing. First, based on the governor's completely faulty metrics that actually have no relationship to our true public health in our county, it looks like we might have to start shutting some of our businesses again. Number two, what I learned is that the numbers that we are being reported are completely bogus. They are meaningless, they are worthless. From a public health, public policy standpoint, the infection rates, hospitalization rates, numbers of people in the hospital, overall, as opposed to just percentages and all that, worthless. Because yesterday in our Board of Supervisors meeting, our public health officer, Dr. Sisson, for the first time, we've been doing this for 4 months now, talking about this. For the first time yesterday, after I asked a series of questions, it finally came clear what the game is. Today, every number that you hear, hospitalization, death, all that, there is no distinction whatsoever between patients admitted to the hospital with COVID versus patients admitted to the hospital because of COVID. Not a single county in the state, perhaps, I don't know if all states are doing it this way, but perhaps not a single state in this nation can tell you they know how many people are hospitalized in the intensive care unit or dead because of COVID as opposed to with COVID. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just say I'm practicing my chainsaw juggling and I sneeze and something goes wrong, and next thing I know, I'm being wheeled into the emergency room to have a limb reattached. And as I'm being wheeled in, somebody shoves a Q-tip down my throat, and 3 days later, that comes back positive. I've already got my limb reattached. I'm already back home resting and thinking about what I did wrong with my chainsaw juggling. But my hospitalization, because that test came back positive, is now counted as a COVID hospitalization. I had no symptoms, didn't know I was sick. Might have already been sick and had the antibodies. And my hospitalization is a COVID hospitalization. Not a chainsaw hospitalization, no, a COVID hospitalization. So when you look at the numbers, what you need to know is there's not a single number that relates to hospitalizations, ICU, or death that anybody can say we have that many deaths because of the disease. They're claiming that with the disease is as good as because of the disease. And under the CARES Act, there's a provision that allows for presumed cases. Because somebody had symptoms, we might not have gotten a test, but they had the symptoms that were COVID-like symptoms, and so we can count them as a COVID hospitalization or a COVID death because we presume it absent an affirmative test. How do you make public policy like that? Why does a positivity rate even matter? Why do we even talk about positivity rates if there's no correlation whatsoever between positivity and hospitalizations? Because unless we know that the hospitalization is driven by the disease, because of the disease, the hospitalization happened, as opposed to with the disease, the hospitalization happened. If we don't know it's because of, then we have no idea what an increasing positivity rate means in terms of anticipated stays in the hospital or in the ICU or even deaths. We have no way of correlating them. Something else that I learned that's equally disturbing and very interesting. We are being put on the watch list. One of the reasons is because our hospitalization rate has dramatically increased over the last 2 weeks. And that's true. We went from about 7 people in the hospital up to yesterday, 28 people in the hospital. But you know what I learned yesterday? I learned yesterday that Placer County only has 13 Placer County residents that are hospitalized somewhere, not necessarily in Placer County, 13 Placer County residents that are hospitalized somewhere with the disease. Now, wait a minute. We're being placed on a watch list because we went from an average of about 7 to now up to 28 people in the hospital, seeing that dramatic increase, and yet at least 15 of those people, at least 15 of those people aren't even Placer County residents. So we have to shut down our business. We have to change our way of life because over half of the people in our hospital likely contracted the disease in a different county. And we've got to change everything here in Placer County because of that. What kind of jacked up public policy is that? So, until they actually change the numbers, they actually change the metrics, and they actually start defining hospitalizations because of COVID, ICU because of COVID, death because of COVID, the rest of it is junk and it's worthless. And Governor Newsom, you know it. You are complicit in this sham that you are running on the residents of California, and you want to make my county residents pay for it?
All right, and I'm almost positive from what I've been told that that's going on everywhere, all across the world. Okay, you have to remember that woman who was the insider in New York. They were doing the same thing. Anybody that came in, pretty much they were putting them in rooms with a COVID-19 patient, hoping they'd get it. That way, if they died, they would be listed as COVID virus death. And they tell you that on the news. They don't say they died because of COVID-19. COVID-19 related death. So all deaths are being recorded as COVID-19 related. But they have to make sure that the person has it in case there's an autopsy. See? And that's why the Chinese wouldn't let anybody do autopsies. And that's why they're trying to do that here in the United States. If your loved one died and it's COVID death, they're trying to tell you you could catch it from their dead body, right? Let's look into that. That's the next thing I'm going to look into. Okay? Isn't that crazy? Think about that, guys. Let your mind wrap around what that guy just said. If that's true, and what the girl said from the New York video and everybody else that I've been talking to, that they get paid to intubate, that means to put the tube down, the breathing tube, $17,000, and then they get paid if the death certificate says COVID-related death. Who's behind the money and why? To what end? Well, it would seem that there's a certain group of people in this country, so I would assume that there's a certain group of people in all these countries around the world. You saw the numbers earlier, they're consistent, that are of the same like mind as a certain group of people with a D after their name who would be ultra, ultra crazy socialists. Because they're the ones that are immediately locked back down. They were telling Placer County, that gentleman that you just heard, to lock down because he had 18 new cases in the entire county. The entire county. The county of Placer County, I believe, is larger than the than Sacramento County, although we're denser in population. 18 people. It's not like they had 10 people in the whole county. 18 people, and 15 of them were not residents of there. They were people who were there in the county staying there, like camping or something, and went to the hospital because they didn't feel good. And they're saying, you guys here that live here got to shut everything down because you have this 800% increase. Well, they went from 7 to 18 people. It's not like they went from 7 to 18,000 people. Okay? So think about what they're doing. They're gaslighting you. So if you listen to all of this, getting back to Mr. CNN, most of the numbers are bullshit anyways. They can't tell you definitively, reality-wise, how many of those people actually died because of COVID-19. They're going to say, well, there were COVID-19-related deaths. The fact that they had this other problem, this just exacerbated that and it caused them to die from their normal death that they had. Okay, but they don't do that with pneumonia from the regular flu or regular pneumonia. They don't say, right, well, somebody dies of a heart attack, but they had the flu at the same time. They don't say complications from the flu. They don't say H1N1-related death. They say he died of a heart attack. Why has the designation been changed on this one virus only? Maybe because it was designed from the beginning. And maybe because it wasn't as deadly as they thought it was going to be. Because somebody with a large, large, large amount of money is paying off hospitals worldwide to lie. It's not just me saying it, guys. I don't know that man. I don't know that girl that was in New York, that woman. Really pretty, by the way. The nurse, I don't know her. She's a patriot. She fought in a war for this country. Got a Purple Heart. Came back here, still wanted to help people. Went to work as a nurse in Florida someplace. Decided that when this whole thing hit, and New York was hit really hard, want to go and volunteer. She made it there 30 days and went home crying, asking the last question, do you think they murdered that man? She was being optimistic before that, not wanting to go down that avenue. I was going down that avenue as soon as I saw that they were putting three patients without COVID virus in a room with one patient that had one. They were all scratching their head. Why are all these people not in that ward they were in before by themselves? Why have they been moved around all these hospitals? I mean, to all these other rooms? Because they wanted to make sure that people had COVID-19. Because the hospital stood to get paid a lot of fucking money. And you saw those guys out here in California that were down in Southern California or below the Bay or the Bay Area. Still might have been in the Bay Area, Northern California, but they said the same thing. That they knew a whole bunch of people that owned practices and hospitals and worked in hospitals that were being incentivized to intubate. He didn't say what that incentive was, but he was inferring that they were being incentivized. Later we find out that's money. Okay, so he said that then. So this has been going on from the beginning. It's not me. The president's not gaslighting you, telling you everything's okay. The president understands because his advisors are saying this is politics being played by the Democrats to keep everybody at home and ruin the economy. When they let it open back up, 12 million jobs in a month came back. Holy fuck, we can't have that happen. So they, quick, make everything look bad again. Bigger numbers, larger numbers than ever before. And, you know, now they're just counting everything willy-nilly. Got to close down. Why? Because the economy was coming back. Had they not had this happen, to have a second wave larger than the first wave. Oh, my God, the world's coming to an end. We're all going to die. But almost a million people around the world have survived it officially, but that number's nowhere. They don't tell you that anymore. Why? Corona-related death. Not died from the coronavirus. corona-related death. Suspected and confirmed cases go into the case. Do you understand how liberal that allows them to just put down whatever they want? Make up the numbers, make up the numbers. Everybody's doing it. They're getting paid. Shh. Right? People are starting to ask questions. Speak out, people. Those of you who are in these hospitals, don't be afraid you're going to lose your job. Because even if you do, let's put these people behind bars. Who's going to stop us, right? What is the cabal going to then tell the lawyers? You know, that well, they went after the pharmaceutical pharmacists. I bet they got paid to question. You do not give out that drug. Why did they stop them from giving out a drug that was working? Well, there is, it's laughable, says Anthony Fauci. Let's go there. Okay. Now, remember the girl that was in the video that got taken down. I'm going to get a clip of that. She tells you why Anthony Fauci and his partner, business partner in pharmaceutical, making a drug that is one, two of them, by the way, that is a cure, vaccination for COVID-19. They're the ones that are advising the president of exactly what's going on. They're making it sound worse than it is so they can make money off of it. Right? And they lied about a cure for AIDS. She claimed she had a cure for AIDS, and they stole it from her and got her fired. When she whistleblowed them, guess who put her in jail? Barack Obama. When she blew the whistle on these guys, Barack Obama had her arrested and put in jail. They did a documentary on this woman. They got that video. I'm going to bring a clip up that talks about his credibility and his partner. Okay, now, if this was lies now, wouldn't she be going to jail or being sued for libel today? But she's going, bam, this is what was going on. So she said that back then, and she went to jail. You can't go to jail for the same thing twice. That's double indemnity. Okay? But she went to jail as a whistleblower, and she's still saying, no, it's still true. But the video keeps getting deleted by the powers that should not be. Why would they do that? Oh, because it is untrue. So they're deleting it. It's a lie. That's why she's suing them currently. But you won't hear about that because they don't play that on your news station where Anderson Cooper was speaking. Okay, so I didn't realize that they had deleted her off of my Facebook page. I knew that they did that off of YouTube. So they've effectively deleted her, and I went looking, and there's other interviews that she did, but I'm not going to play a bunch of other people's interviews of her on here. So you can look that up. It's hard to find, but okay, so if you listen to Anthony Fauci, you know, when he was in front of Congress, I should have grabbed that clip. That was back in March when he just didn't know how many people were going to die. And they were like, well, how can you guys come up with an average then? Well, we don't know. So they're just guessing. You know, they guessed like more than 3 million people were going to die, in America alone. You know, in the beginning, that's possible if it had that 4% to 10%, death rate. But it doesn't. It's 0.04%. Okay? Otherwise, the numbers would be super high, and they're not. All right? So that's that. But, you know, who's gaslighting who? Donald Trump is not, in fact, heading up the task force. That went to Mike Pence. Those guys are handling it. Mike Pence is handling it. And so then they question Mike Pence and, he said that he's being an optimist and, you know, he's just an optimist. And that's why he's lying to you. He's not lying to you. He's telling you the truth. Okay. So Anderson Cooper, you're either a fucking moron or you're part of the cabal. Wait, I'm sorry. You are a Vanderbilt, aren't you? That's right. You're Gloria Vanderbilt's kid. God rest her soul. So, wait, you're a Vanderbilt, and you're on CNN preaching to me that Donald Trump, who's draining the swamp, which means taking power away from your family because you're one of the seven in the cabal, the main cabal, and that you are, in fact, a Vanderbilt, where does that put you? Oh, no, I don't hang out with those guys. I'm not involved in all that stuff. They don't like gays and that kind of stuff. Right? So I would assume that Anderson Cooper, anything that comes out of your mouth, bro, is no different than if you had horns, a tail, and a pitchfork, and a forked tongue. Okay? I would listen to what Adolf Hitler said, and I know he was in the cabal, before I would listen to what you say. So people, Anderson Cooper is the cabal. Who else would be the face? Oh no, he's a nice guy. He's a freaking Vanderbilt. How many other people from Gloria, does he have siblings that are above him that will carry on the name? Or is he the next in line to the throne? Do you understand that question, people, and what the ramifications are of that? So who's gaslighting whom? Anderson. Right? And for what reason, Mr. Cooper? All of this will come out in time, people. But you need to listen and stop paying attention to them and listening as if they are telling you the gospel. Look it up. I did. Do the math. Google that shit. Ask Google or Siri, how do you calculate an average? And then they'll say how to do that. Take the number of people infected. Take the number of deaths. You divide the number of deaths into the number of people that died. That's how you get an average amount or percent. Okay? And if you do that, it comes up 0.000, three zeros, four. Now, to translate that into a percent, you divide 100 into that, which moves the decimal point over two spaces. So if you move the decimal point over two spaces, you still have 10. So it becomes zero, not a whole number, 0.04. percent. That's 1/100th of a percent. 1/100th with a th of a percent. Not 4, not 8, not 10 or 9 or what they're telling you. Not a whole number at all. 1/100 or 4/100ths of a percent of 1%. Do you understand what that actually means? Okay, and there's no other way you can do the math. You can't take the number of deaths and get any other number by looking at how many people have been infected according to their numbers. Not even calculating how many people recovered, because they stopped tallying that and they stopped telling you about that. Why is that? Why is that? Because they didn't want to give you optimism. You'd be optimistic if you saw out of the, you know, the 3 million people that have gotten it, nearly a million people have recovered. Well, does that mean that 2 million people are currently in hospitals fighting it? Hell no. They'd be filming it all over everywhere. They'd have cameras in there, bum rushing the hospitals to try and get that, and they'd have people, get out of here, get out of here. You can't, these people are dying. Show them some dignity. But you don't have a single fucking video about that, do you? Whenever the people go into these hospitals, they see crickets and quietness, and everybody's sitting around with their feet up, reading newspaper and eating pizza. Cake in the break room. Now, I'm not saying there's not people at all in any hospitals, because I'm sure there are some. But even the exaggerated Anderson Cooper with his all the hospitals are full and all the beds are full of COVID patients, right? It was just over 50%, and they wouldn't tell you what that percentage was. So when they say over 50%, like I said, I explained that in the beginning. That means the same as $19.99 and $20. So Anderson Cooper's a crock. All right? More to come. I got more to say. All right. Okay, so the Johns Hopkins University, all right, they keep talking about that. The CDC, we went over that, okay? You know, the president's gaslighting people, we went over that. Arizona, we went over that, okay? Johns Hopkins University, they keep talking about this. All this information, you know, they're saying they're not listening to the professionals, and the professionals are Fauci and that team, and I explained that away, okay? Money in it for them if it goes the way they want it to go, so it has to be a pandemic, right? The Democrats are locking everything down on purpose to destroy the economy. Let's be serious, okay? Johns Hopkins University. All right, how does that come into play? Well, Johns Hopkins University is right now is what they quote. Everybody quotes Johns Hopkins University, all the news channels, because they're the ones that are doing the study on the coronavirus. Okay, well, here, let's listen to this. Okay, I'm going to turn you guys over here to pictures so you don't have to see my ugly mug the whole time. And I'm going to play this for you, okay? Who started the Testing Insight Initiative and why is the title of this. And I'm going to have the computer read it so I don't have to do it, okay? But I'll be making comments. So here we go.
Who started the Testing Insights Initiative and why? The testing initiative is the result of support from Bloomberg Philanthropies and the Stavros Niarchos Foundation as long-term philanthropic partners of the university.
I'm sorry, what was that? The testing initiative is the result of the support by the Bloomberg Philanthropies and Starvos, I don't know how to say the last name, Foundation as the long-term philanthropic partners of the university. So Mike Bloomberg, okay, do you know who he is? He's the guy that ran for the Democratic ticket and spent almost $80 million of his own money to try and become the president. Now, prior to that, we'll get into that after we go through this. Prior to that, we'll get there when we get there. All right. So let's continue here.
In addition to outreach and encouragement from Senator Mark Warner, policymakers from across the country, including at the federal level, have sought a centralized hub for information and data about testing as they evaluate plans to reopen economies and craft policy responses to counter the spread of the disease. The new Testing Insights Initiative will provide such a resource and help guide leaders as they consider how and when to reopen. In other words, the DNC.
Okay, so they wanted to put something together in a central hub. So what did they do? They said, well, let's do it at the place we're paying for. Okay, and you'll see how in-depth that is. Okay, so this is the DNC. All right, here we go.
The COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative reflects an interdisciplinary collaboration between several groups at Johns Hopkins University, the Bloomberg School of Public Health.
I'm sorry, the Bloomberg School of Public Health?
Nine large contributors to the DNC.
Right, large contributors to the DNC.
Applied Physics Laboratory, Center for Health Security, Center for System Science and Engineering, CSSE, in the Whiting School of Engineering, and the Centers for Civic Impact, which is supported in part by Bloomberg Philanthropies.
I'm sorry, what? All of those groups are supported in part by Bloomberg. So all the testing places, all nine of them, are Bloomberg's companies that he pays money for. Get them all together in one place, Johns Hopkins University, because why? They have a wing there named after him, right? What do they call it? The Bloomberg School of Public Health. So now you bring in the scientists that you're paying for and all these other companies to come in under one roof to tell the world how best to fight off this coronavirus. Mike Bloomberg, one of the guys behind the freaking virus, right? And what is he? Wait. Who's this guy? He's not that badly. Oh, okay, we'll get to that. Just keep listening.
Data and technical support is provided by the Atlantic's COVID Tracking Project, ESRI, and the JHU Sheridan Libraries. How is COVID-19 diagnosed? In the United States, diagnostic testing for COVID-19 involves testing for the presence of the virus in specimens obtained from patients. Almost all diagnostic testing for COVID-19 is done using PCR-based methods, which look for the genetic material of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which causes COVID-19. These methods can only diagnose someone with COVID-19 if they are actively infected. Currently, most diagnostic tests for COVID-19 test nasopharyngeal or oropharyngeal specimens, nose or throat swabs. Recently, the FDA granted emergency use authorization to a laboratory to test patients' saliva. What are limitations to COVID-19 diagnostic tests? With any diagnostic test, there is the potential for false negatives or false positives. For existing COVID-19 tests in the U.S., there have been reports of false negative tests in some patients. False negative tests can occur if a specimen was not properly obtained or if a patient was tested too early or too late in their infection. Laboratory error is also a possible cause of false negative test results. Conversely, false positive reports are less common.
Okay, but we now know that they're just lumping everybody in there from another whistleblower from the Placer County, right? They're just anybody who comes in willy-nilly. And we know that the girl over there in, I'm going to have to get that clip up. How about I do that? The girl over there in New York had the clip where they were putting a COVID-19 patient in with three that didn't have it. Why? Because they would end up getting it because they were in there and they were sickly. Why would you do that otherwise? Why are you not separating the COVID-19 patients from the patients who don't have it? There could be only one reason. Because you can move everybody around and have four COVID-19 patients in the same room. And they were there, but they moved them. That's in the video. I'll have to play that for you. Okay, so not only are the tests, you know, there could be the possibility. I'm not saying the tests are bad. Okay, but what they're not saying here is how they weed out the ones that they test that have already had it. There's nowhere in any of these guidelines that say that, and they won't say that. Okay, and that's what the guy from Placer County said, that they won't say that. If they test them as positive, you're positive. It doesn't matter whether you already had it. and you were already over it. They didn't even test to see if you had the antigen in your body because you got a positive test. All right. So let's move on to that then, right? So I'll pull up. Let me go back to me over here. So I'll pull up the video with that woman and in the clip here in a moment, and we'll see what she. Where, I'll show you where undercover she's talking about that with the other nurse. Okay.
Results. As you can see, 5-1-2020 at 17-16, not detected. They test for a second time, 5-4-2020 at 17-59, not detected. So both of those are negative. Scroll up to the top. This is my patient. They are on a vent and they are being called COVID-19 confirmed, droplet in contact and eye protection.
So this person is droplet and eye COVID confirmed. Positive A, click, not detected. No resulting lab available. Oh, pretty good.
While Erin was using her hidden camera to document another chart showing a patient with negative test results who nonetheless was labeled COVID confirmed, another travel nurse entered the room. They began to discuss what Erin was seeing.
If it says bioreference, that's that means here. It's done here.
So not detected here, but so it's presumptive. Now, they're all...
They are detected. They're saying it's positive. Not detected.
But it's not detected.
So I
you said that they were vented immediately upon being brought in, is that?
Yeah, so the thing is they're coming in with difficulty breathing, and a lot of these patients are really coming in with anxiety because everybody is, they're scared. And when I was back home, I was working in the ED out in the tents, and most people that were coming through with like symptoms of just, you know, anxiety or... You know, they're worried and they're breathing fast and then they get all nervous. So this is how the people are like coming in. Now, I'm not saying that some of them, you know, don't have COVID. Like there are people that come in and they really do need help, not to the extent of a vent, but they need help. But these other people, like this person who wasn't COVID multiple times, you know, and a lot of them are on either Medicaid or Medicare. They're poor. They're from, you know, a lower class. We're at a public hospital. They need the funding. So take them. They take them and they tell them pretty much that if they don't get on a vent, then they're probably not going to survive. But the reality is if they get on that vent, the likelihood of them walking out the hospital is slim to none.
And can I ask you what, like, PEEP are they on, and is that being mandated or specified what the pressure is on the vent?
Here's the thing with this. So you don't have actual doctors that know critical care ICU doctors on these floors. There's a dentist and there are residents with these. So residents are essentially students, and they have no idea what they're doing. Like, I had to police, actually today, I had to police a resident because he wrote an order for me to run Versed, which is a medicine that you have to be very careful with because it can kill someone at like quadruple the speed of what you should be running it at the dose. And had I not known that, then I would have easily killed the patient and it would have been okay under their COVID standards. So everything is kind of a wash. Nobody's held accountable for anything. And these people that are in vents are essentially being like, these residents are like practicing their skills on them. So they're practicing central lines. They're practicing like invasive procedures that are really unnecessary.
What is the percentage of Black, Latino, white? What's the racial composition?
Hispanic and Black for the majority.
And what's the age
and
range?
Asian.
And what's the age range?
20-year-olds all the way up to 70, 80-year-olds. Very few 80-year-olds. But the majority of people, I would say, are in their 40s or 50s.
Wow. And what percentage of the people that are in there would you say actually have tested positive for COVID?
Half. Probably half.
But everyone is being treated as though...
The entire hospital is COVID. So half the hospital is not COVID, but they're on COVID floors.
So let me just ask you about nosocomial infection. So you're saying they're putting non-COVID or COVID rule out with definite COVID patients?
Yes.
So I was only wondering because, like, I was looking at, like, all the patient rooms and, like, this patient is in with, like, a non-COVID. I don't understand why they're doing that.
I know. There's four patients in a row here.
Yeah.
Non-COVID. And this is supposed to be the COVID.
Yeah.
Because seventh floor, they've shut it down.
That's right. I'm confused.
And then they're going to have non-COVID there.
Yeah.
This is going to be the only COVID, so they shouldn't put any non-COVIDs here.
Well, that's what they've been doing.
They're banking on the fact that they'll get it. Because they're already immunocompromised. So they're they'll put them in the same room. So there's double rooms. So you have a COVID with a non-COVID. They don't even care. We have enough rooms where they can be separated now because it's not as busy as it was, 4 weeks ago. But they don't care. They're just putting them together. I have that right now happening.
And like the guy over in...
I had 226 that were two negatives.
And they end up positive. Like, the guy over in 29, I had him upstairs because I was on CCU before it.
Yeah.
And he came in with a stroke.
I know. That's what 26-1 was, a stroke.
And no COVID. And now he's got COVID, and he's on a vent.
Well, because we gave it to him here. Is that what that means?
Like, we have... in the United States, and we've had it for a while, a rapid test. It's 45 minutes. Do you have COVID, don't you? They're not doing the rapid test here.
They're not?
No.
Okay. At Elmhurst, you've never seen them?
Nope, they don't do it. It's too expensive. They do 5 day. It's like 5 to 7 day turnaround. In the meantime, they admit them onto COVID units. So non-COVIDs, the rule-outs, are going to COVID units and waiting for the results. Even though we have a rapid result, which is 45 minutes, and they're not doing it. No. Not one.
But would you say it's too expensive? I mean, isn't this all getting charged to the fund anyway? I mean, why not do it? Why not? Are you saying
that... I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me. I asked that doctor... about it.
How come you guys don't do the rapid test here?
Because city clinics, I mean, it exists. It's just they don't have access to it. It's only limited supply, so if you have deep pockets, you get it first.
Oh, so money.
Most times it's money about everything, yes.
That's sad.
It's the reality.
I compare this hospital to a third world country. I've been in a third world country hospital in Iraq. The Iraq hospital is better than this one. And that says a lot. I've been there. I've been in both hospitals. And this is in the United States. And this hospital is treating low income, mostly, people. And it almost makes me feel like they think these people are disposable. And they're not. They're people. You know, people are not disposable, you know, especially the ones that are struggling day in and day out, the hard workers, you know, like trying to reach that American dream, and they're not given a chance because they're brought to this place where nobody cares.
And is there... an understood financial incentive to diagnose COVID?
Yeah, of course. So in the hospital that I'm in right now, it's all COVID at this point. Every single floor is COVID, and they made it that way, obviously, for a reason, in my opinion. But a person cannot come to the floor unless they have a COVID diagnosis.
Is the reason, did they not want to cross-contaminate? Would that be the legitimate reason why you would create an all COVID floor?
Here's why I will say no to that, is because they're admitting people for, quote, COVID rule out. So this guy was probably admitted COVID rule out, tested him, they saw that it came back negative, they probably already did something where they needed to now call him COVID, in the hopes that if they're putting him on a COVID floor and there's nurses going room to room to room, he will get it, and then they'll be, you know, they'll be backed when he does pass that he did have COVID.
Now, I mean, that's quite a charge. I mean, what makes you think they really want them to get COVID? Because
money. I think it's at least $29,000 per patient. And then you have to think you're also charging supplies and more supplies and more supplies. That's just like a bonus money.
But what the residents aren't getting that, right? I mean, why?
Oh, that's the thing. And I actually went at it with a lot of residents already, and they're order followers. So there was a resident, and I have this on tape. I taped it because it was just so disgusting to me. A 37-year-old, which is my age, was not a DNR. He's a full code. His family in depth discussed with the doctors that they want us to do everything they can to save him. He came in talking. He was very terrified. He was just like, you know, totally alert, knew what was going on, and they convinced him to be on a vent. Now he's dead. But the doctor said when I got into shift that if he codes, that we are not to resuscitate or try to save him. And we flipped.
This is important. I just asked them if we can put a DNR order in. They said no. That's up to the attending.
Okay. So we're going to code him.
That's what I said, and they said no, we're not. I said yes, we are. Yeah. We're obligated to. So then
we got to say something though. Like, it's our license. Unfortunately, you guys got to put in an order. Just something.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said I'm obligated.
Yeah.
What did she say?
So then she's like, the higher up said. I said I don't care what they said.
What higher up? God? We don't have a God here making decisions.
I said I don't care what they said.
So we're supposed to. He's not DNR, but we're treating it as DNR.
Basically.
Does his family know?
His family knows the situation. I think they called them and they told them. They were trying to do a two attending consent for DNR.
Okay.
All day he spent like in the 80s saturating. It was the this one on the forehead didn't work. This one worked. And it came back. When I changed it, I was like, oh shoot, it's 90.
Yeah.
So they started playing around with the
pressure. Oh shoot, it's 90.
Because he's still on pressure.
He changed the pulse ox.
You put him on AC
from his head to his finger, and he's like, oh, it's 90.
I had to put a sign up last week. Don't touch my.
He's fine.
So.
Yeah. So what was that?
So that was. We were just getting on shift because we were starting the night shift at 7. And that was the nurse from the day shift saying pretty much we shouldn't code him if he's going to code. And then I turned my glasses on.
Why are we being told not to code him, essentially? That's what he said.
I mean, because I'm going to tell you right now, if he bottoms out, I'm jumping on his chest. Period. Point blank. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Because until that status is changed in the computer, that's what I'm obligated to do under my nursing license.
Right. I mean,
because you guys aren't going to back me up and protect me.
Well, Elmhurst does have a policy given, like a COVID policy, given the scarcity of dialysis
and
blood.
It can be a chem code. It can be whatever.
That it's not, there's not a, it's a difference. Normally the standard is whatever the family says, like, we just do. So if they would say code him for 5 years, like, you just do that.
Right.
So they die. It's a little bit different now because of the new policy in place with Dr. put in place, which is that you don't need full family like, you can just tell someone that it's medically futile and that we're not willing to just pour blood and resources into something that would be impossible to get back.
Right.
But he's 37. I mean, it's brutal.
Well,
so
they tried.
Said, well, our higher-ups have agreed and our attendings agree that this is futile care at this point. He is not going to make it. I said, he doesn't have an EpiDrip going. He doesn't have anything to sustain going. And I said, and who decided this? And I said, can you put a comfort care order in then? No, we can't do that. Can you put a DNR order in? No, we can't do that. I said, so what's our plan?
Do we
have
modified?
She goes, well, he's dying. And I'm like, I understand that, but there needs to be an order indicating that either I'm doing compressions or I'm not doing compressions.
Well, I can say that we can all be in agreement that we will do it. I will definitely.
Because I'm going to jump on them.
Yeah.
So will I. I'll go right with you. I don't care. That's what we're here for. I'm not playing like these
stupid games.
Like, until
they change his status that he is a DNR, and they can do a true physician consent if they've talked to the family.
Yeah.
But until they change it, and I see it, he's a full code to me.
What if we know when someone is, we're close, we'll pull the code card up and be ready.
If they've talked to the family.
Yeah.
But until they change it, and I see it, he's a full code to me.
What if we know when someone is, we're close, we'll pull the code card up and be ready. You know, we're ready. I had the epi ready. That's one of the first things we do. And she wouldn't let me give it. So this was that woman. And the entire time, and this was over his body, his alive body, and we're arguing, and she's laughing, she was smirking, and how this man died was the nurses arguing with the doctors over him as he was dying, and she's smirking the entire time. It was probably one of the worst experiences in my entire life. But all I can think about is that at least he knows that we were fighting for him when he died. You know. But this was my conversation after what happened. And the guy I told you about earlier that had pulled his tube out, he was up at that point. Like, he was on the same floor. He had pulled his... He was the one that they wanted to sedate. So at that point, he was doing better where he could walk. This doctor had put a diaper on him and told him to poop in his pants. So after the code, I went to go check on him, and he goes, I have poop in my pants. I'm like, why do you have poop in your pants? And he said that because the doctor told him that he has to do that. And I've just lost it. It was her.
This is wrong. It is straight up it is wrong. And I am 37 years old. I have been in a hospital since I've been 16. Military hospitals that well.
What aspect of it was wrong to you? I agree that there were parts of it that were wrong too. So.
Calling a patient a DNR when there's no order for it and telling us, like straight up telling us, you're not doing anything. That's wrong. If that was my brother or my father or anybody, I would be furious. And I guarantee you, if I called his family right now and told them what happened, they would be furious too.
I flipped. We were all crying. There's a lot of nurses that know that this is wrong, but they're afraid to like say anything publicly.
She said, when I was talking to her, she said, we're not always given the orders, it comes from the top down. And I was thinking, that's my exact problem with everything. Where's it coming from? What's the purpose? Are you guys really trying to kill everybody like everybody thinks?
Within our unit, it was a big fight, and ultimately the kid died with us over his body arguing about this.
Over there.
Yeah.
And the doctors, he's like, the doctor will just write it up that we, you know.
Yeah, I don't trust him though, because I don't know him.
I'm sorry, I'm not doing that.
There's a doctor that came upstairs that I had worked with prior. He was working in the ED, heard what happened. He came into the room with me and told me that what I did was good. And then, you know, so there are good doctors in here. You know, I guess the word traveled after this.
You mentioned earlier that this is a common occurrence where people come in able to speak and they just have low oxygen levels and then they're put on a vent. What's going on there?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea how they're assuming everybody is just the same. There's no individuality anymore. These residents, I think a lot of them are just stone cold, you know, there's no emotion and they don't view people as people anymore. And it's really sad. Like I came a little bit later, you know, after the big rush, but there was still a lot of people coming in
and a lot of us were just in shock. Within the first couple days, you could see exactly what was going on.
My bigger problem with this whole scenario is when they intubate people who don't need it.
Yeah.
And it looks very clear to me that they're just pushing it.
You almost feel like you are literally living in the Twilight Zone. And you feel like you're the only sane one in a bunch of insane people. And it's scary because these are the people that others are trusting to take care of them.
Okay, so obviously this isn't happening everywhere exactly like that. But if you look back at what I said here and what this guy from Placer County said as far as how, and what this woman just said, as far as how there, and this is California and that was New York. So here's 3,000 some odd miles apart on either coast, and you're finding basically the same thing, okay? And I literally went into the hospital today to get some blood work done, and I was talking to one of the nurses in there, and I said, you know, people getting incentivized to intubate. He said, oh, absolutely. So he knew about it. And then when I talked about the whistleblowers here in California, those two doctors, he said, yeah, and then they took a lot of heat for that. And I said, well, everybody does. That's why they don't want to speak out. Okay, so there's some jinky shit going on, people, and there's insiders blowing the whistle. Pay attention to what everything is that I put here. And that's just the stuff that I jammed into this, and we're like way an hour and some odd minutes in. That whole interview with that woman was over an hour by itself. Okay, so my answer to Anderson Cooper is, who's gaslighting whom, Anderson? Again, I'll ask that question. Stop reading your teleprompter and do some research. If you were a real person and not part of the cabal, because you are a Vanderbilt, if you were a real person and you were a real journalist, you and everybody else at all these places would walk off your job and get a job at Fox or somewhere else, or start your own news agency where it's actually real journalism. You guys are not journalists. You just read a teleprompter. You just read a teleprompter and that's all you do. And you just spout off whatever you're told to spout off, and you keep your job, and you do what you're a good little slave. You're a good little slave, and you do what you're supposed to. For those of you out there who watch this stuff, I'm telling you, this isn't stuff that, like, Fox is making shit up, because otherwise now I'm, you know, lying to, and all these other people are. And all these people that keep popping up that are whistleblowers that you don't get to see on your channels because they delete this stuff. Okay? And they're probably going to delete this one because it's too volatile if they watch the entire video. Right? But it's the truth. So however long it stays up, it is what it is. You guys need to pay attention. Here we are, you know, me putting this together now. It's Monday. So it took me from, I started it on Friday, and me putting all this together and cutting and editing. I'm now editing the last, my comments now. And now the governor of this state has locked everybody back down now. Closed all the restaurants, closed everything once again. And there's no fucking reason for it. It's a lie. Okay? 0.04%. That's less than the percentage of people having to worry about dying than the regular common flu. And this is not a disease. That's why it's called coronavirus. A disease is something that you get that's going to kill you 100% unless there's a cure for it. Cancer. AIDS. Do you understand? Lupus. Do you understand? Those are diseases. This is not a disease. If it were, we'd already have 3 million people dead because there's 3 million cases so far in the United States. That's not 3 million people currently fighting off this virus, guys. That's 3 million people total since March that have tested positive. Most of those people did not die. We know that because we've only have how many? 100,000. That's less than what? That's 0.1%. How many times does 100,000 go into 3.3 million? That's how many people have died compared to how many people have it. So that means all the other ones are what? Fighting it off in all the hospitals? 3 million people across the United States? That would overwhelm all the beds. It's not that. That's not what's going on. They've been fighting it for 4 months. Lingering. Oh, COVID virus, still got it. COVID still got it. Intubated, still got it. Can't get rid of it. Can't get rid of it. Just stacking up the beds of people. Opening up more hospitals. That's not happening. So the rest of them went home already. They stopped counting regular flu during this time of the season. That doesn't mean that it's not happening, because half of the beds in Arizona are not COVID-19. She said that in New York, too, half. So what's the other half? Normal flu shit. So that means the flu is still going up, too. They just don't count it and count it and count it like they're doing this. This is fear they're preaching to you. It's all politics. When we opened the country up, the numbers went up, but we're testing like 4 million a day, 40 million a day across the United States. So you're going to get more cases that are positive because those people already had it between last October and now. They're not currently fighting it off. You have to understand that. They want you to believe that, though, okay, because they don't have the recovered line in there anymore, not even a dash. It's gone. They only show you cases and deaths. That's it. No recoveries, no false cases, no, well, that one could have been a case. You heard what she was saying. The same thing the guy said from Pulaski County, that there was cases that were positive and then expected to be, right? So that's what they're doing. So they're assumed everything is COVID now. And you saw how they were putting them in the same room with COVID patients hoping they'd get it. This is a reality, people. You need to understand this. This is really happening. You even heard that one nurse say, are you really killing people like they're all they're saying? So even they have heard that this was going on and then confronted with it, they were like, wow, maybe it is true, the rumors. So the rumor mill isn't just making shit up. The internet's not just making shit up. People, you see people actually telling you the way it is. And then you listen to these other people and they're saying, no, that's conspiracy theory. None of that's true. They have no proof. What proof do you need? They were showing you the charts of these people. No COVID-19. Yet over here it's listed COVID-19 because they got a droplet in the eye. But the test came back negative both times. They still had them listed as a COVID positive. Why? Came from the top. How far up? Oh, it must be Donald Trump. No. No, but close. Okay? The cabal, the powers that should not be, the families that think they own you, me, and everyone else. The Democratic Party right now that was being controlled by them, they want to get their power back. You think that this is me being a Republican mouthpiece? Change the channel, delete me from your friendship. Eventually, when all of this comes out, you'll go, wow, that guy was actually telling the truth. He wasn't actually a hack for the Republican Party, because I'm not. Okay? I'm not. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm no party at all. I'm listed as no party. You have to list yourself as something. You can't list yourself as an anarchist, because that would be listing yourself as a political party. And if you are an anarchist, you don't want to list yourself as a political party. I'm not an anarchist, but I don't believe in any of these parties that they have. Okay, I think that the Republicans and the Democrats are just two wings of the same bird, as Omar would say, giving him kudos. Okay, and most of the time they are. Going back in time from Reagan until now, all of those people on both sides of the fence, blue and red, we're all cabal, out for the same agenda, okay? Well, Donald Trump's evil. No, he's not. He is part of the cabal, but he's not one of the bad guys, okay? Is he related in that family? Yes, but he's actually one of the good guys, at least seemingly so right now. He's doing good things for this country. You just don't know that because of the channel that you watch doesn't tell you that, okay? And then they say he's just bragging about himself. Well, yeah, I would too if I turned the economy around and made us the most self-sufficient country on the face of the earth, more prosperous than at any time in the history of this country. More people working in the history of our country until they slam down. And then you notice the people that are really trying hard to lock everybody down are all the Democrats, cities, Democrat states. I'm just saying, guys, you need to wake up and believe. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. The truth is... the truth, it doesn't matter. You don't want to hear it. That's not my fault. Okay? That's not my fault. Sorry, I keep getting these stupid pop-ups over here. I'm going to kill those off here and get rid of them so they'll stop popping up. Because for some reason, it seemed that my computer wanted to have them all pop up now to make noise. Okay, so that's that. It's long enough, right? The way it is. But, you know, I could go on forever just on this. And I'll probably do other videos. I have other stuff that I'm going to be doing to show you. These people that are saying. Maybe I should put a collage together of all of them so you see how many whistleblowers are already coming forward. They're not all lying. They've never met. Okay? This is not B613, but it is. That's the scary thing. All right, guys.